These are the moments we all live for. How many times have we seen these three work together? Elma Smit out of Africa, straight into the biltong shops of Southwest London. Emily Scarrett, Scazzy Das. Surely you can never run a switch too many times. And Mo Hunt, chippy, snipey, sporty, karaoke. Sounds like the new Spice Girls. Here they come, the good, the Scazz, the rugby.
Welcome to the Good, the Scazz, and the Rugby, brought to you by our friends from Vodafone. I'm back from Edinburgh in the studio with Katie Daly-McLean.
Hello.
Hi, KDM. We will catch up with our Scazz and Mo in a bit. They also didn't get to go to Scotland. I am having all of the fun right now.
You've got a suntan as well.
That's definitely not from Scotland.
Windburn?
It's from. This is from sitting outside in London on Sunday when I had the braai. It was very nice. Scotland, they are not braaiing yet. I can tell you that because the wind was coming from very many directions and the rain from the ground up as well. Brian Eason showed me up by just strolling around in the thinnest long sleeve top man has ever worn. Mm. And I felt like he could have just pretended with me that it was really cold.
Did you show your South African roots by any chance?
Yeah, I think he laughed at me a little bit and went, let me show her. That's how we do it up here. What did you make of the Scottish girls?
Oh, you can't not like them, can you? I think that's like definitely, I've played with a couple of them. I played obviously with Rona at Loughborough. They're just good eggs. And I think that is very much them. Mm. The way they conduct themselves, how warm they are. And it's nice, I think, for me to see how well they're going in terms of their rugby, because we always knew how capable they were, but they never ever kind of got it across the line. But actually, like we've talked about WXV2, that result against Wales, it's really nice to see. They're a good group and it's probably what they deserve.
What does Coach Katie Daly-McLean think of Coach Brian Eason and what he told us?
I think it's fascinating, isn't it? You know, what Scotland definitely seem to be getting right is the culture around that squad. And I think for me, some of the interesting bits was how he described their space, so them having their own space. I think he talked about the change room and their team room. And definitely in squads I've been in, one of the biggest things that some of our coaches, especially our male coaches, struggled with was how different a girls' change room can be. I think for us, playing sevens or 15s, it was very much light-hearted. There was a lot of noise, a lot of music, banging. Sometimes Disney tunes were on.
Is this just you? Is it just because you were in the team?
I'm generalising. Yeah, maybe. No, actually, Mo was DJ. So
oh.
So there's a lot to do with Mo.
Oh, okay.
And Mo's choice of music, sometimes questionable. But I think that is probably a really good idea for them, isn't it? Or for most squads, for the girls to have a space where they know they can be themselves, they don't need to worry about whether the coaches are judging or making opinions of change rooms and how they conduct themselves. Actually, there should be spaces where you're ready, however you do it, to get ready to play. Mm. And I think maybe that's part of the things that they're obviously getting right up there.
I loved Philippa Tati, and she texted me and she said, every squad says they're super tight, but I've never believed that is more true of any other squad than of this Scottish team. She said, I don't think I've ever wanted to play for another nation, but that Scottish camp sounds class. And it is bordering on cultish, but they have absolutely embraced that tag that I gave them and they are running with it and their fans are turning up for it. I don't know how many of the people who bought tickets to go to the Hive Stadium this weekend are English, but I'm so here for that record crowd, 7,774 or something like that. Massive number. And Rachel Malcolm, when she posted that sold out graphic on her stories, she said, investment matters, visibility matters, which is just, that's it. Build it and they will come.
So true, isn't it? Whoever said women's sport wasn't interesting?
Mm-hmm. No one watches it. Just like no one watches Caitlin Clark. Oh my goodness. Those numbers. They had a peak viewing audience on NCAA. To give you an idea, the peak viewing figures reached 24 million viewers. The highest on men's competition in the same league was something like 14. So they have just shot the lights out in so many real ways in basketball in the US. And the groundswell of support obviously doesn't necessarily transfer, although if any of them wanted to watch rugby, we would love to have them. But it just shows that I don't think the goals we should be setting for women's rugby is to do what the men's game have done. It is to grow its own legion of fans, entertain them, enthrall them, capture their imaginations, create great opportunities for people to come and watch the sport, and the rest will happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the audience is different. I think if you look at that Red Roses crowd last year when there's 55,000 at Twickenham, you're looking at the families. It is a much more family orientated day out. And if you watch that game, Scotland's game from 2 weekends ago against France, there was a lot of young families, kids, boys, girls in that crowd.
Rona Lloyd and Emma Wassell and Women Who Sport, I love the fact that they took up the conversation we had when we recorded the pod and made a travel guide for Edinburgh. Great tips on where to go get your pulled pork and your flat white and basically everything else when you are in Edinburgh over the weekend. So go give them a follow and a like and a share. We love that. Pushing local business as well. We're so here for it. As I mentioned, it's time for us to quickly take a jump back, catch up with our Scars No Moan. They need to have a right of reply because Emma Wassell said some stuff. I don't know if anyone knows about the derriere comment. And we managed to catch up with them in the Fallow Week. So here they are. And we go back to the future Fallow Week check-in with our Scaz and Mo. They're here. We've been missing you on the show.
And hi.
I'm wearing red just for you.
2 weeks too late, but
makes a change, doesn't it? Honestly.
Are you sure it's not for Wales?
I didn't think you would wear white or red. However, wearing like basically an Italian shirt minus their emblem and sponsors was a joke.
I thought I did really well. I even matched the ribbon of the accreditation. The match day accreditation was the exact colour of my shirt.
Do you know why that was, Alma? Because it's the Italian colour.
We have to provide balance. There's got to be a certain amount of independence. Also, as I said, my
married
name...
That's not independent. Well, independent means neither one or the other. That is the literal definition of independent.
And also, I didn't even think too deeply of it until I listened to you up in Scotland camp, how buzzing you were that you wore the blue shirt and that we commented on it. That was the bit that got me. I wasn't too offended until then.
It's too easy, guys. It really is.
It did feel a bit like a setup. I was like wondering if like someone was filming when we got sort of like bit on that.
Yeah, just a little double take from you guys. Nick Heath was absolutely fizzing for this. He was obviously the big stirrer. But I have to take credit for the shirt color matching. I was very, very happy with myself there. How did Morio and Scaz in the gladiator outfit go down in camp? Because so many people have wanted to talk to me about that.
The girls were like, what is this? And honestly, we were in the changing rooms, like prepping to go out for our big session, and you just heard it go off like loads in like loads of different pockets of the changing rooms. The girls were just like, girls, seriously. Everyone was loving Scuzz's slow walk though. And also the cut down when she's like, are there ancient ruins in England? Like, actually part of the script.
Absolutely done over.
That was so golden.
I had quite a few people message me being like, be honest, that's straight out of your like costume box, because of like my fancy dress stuff that I've worn in the past. They're like, no, seriously. Like CB and Nelly both messaged me being like, no, seriously, that was already yours, wasn't it?
Yeah. Emma Wassell was not surprised. She's the only person who went, well, obviously she got straight into character because Buddy the Elf, hello, if she's going to do dress up, she's going to kill it.
Well, yes. The bit that she missed out in that whole Buddy the Elf situation is that Wass cares about how she looks, like lots of people do, in a really good way, and she always looks fantastic. So for her to wear Buddy the Elf, I don't really care, but for her to wear Buddy the Elf, it was like a bit more of a thing, because obviously it's a costume that doesn't really, in her words, give a huge amount. So Wass really wanted to like just like tweak it a bit, change the hair, not wear the wig at all. But I was really proud of her because she just did it flat out. we were in the club room hacking at this wig to try and trim it down a little bit so it was almost like as terrible as possible.
I was going to say, I think that made it look worse, mate, but that was the outcome desired.
Yeah.
So how good is it to be back in an England shirt, Askazi? Because we have actually not spoken to you since you did that.
It was, I guess, a bit of a surreal thing. Like, it's the first time I've ever had my name on the back of a 15 shirt, which was quite cool. Obviously, that came in over a year ago, but I haven't played since then. So to have, like, receive your first shirt with the name on the back. Me and Abby Ward had a little moment at shirt presentation because I was like, oh, have you ever had your name on the back of an England shirt? She was like, no. And then she had a little moment, bless her. But things like that are really cool. Like it's your name, isn't it? I know you spoke to the Scottish girls about it. It's your name on the back of something. So it's pretty cool.
That's a special one. I love that.
Very cool to have her back.
Are we talking about the Achilles or what?
I don't really know. It's a frustrating one. I've had tendon issues like for most of my career, but this one's just hitting a bit different and it's really frustrating. It was almost like it knew we were coming back to play. So after having like months and months of really good running and really good training and feeling really good, then that first week back to almost playing, it was like, oh, we're back, I'm back, perfect. And then it's just kind of gone a bit downhill since then. It's, yeah, starting to struggle with it. So had a little intervention over the weekend, was in a boot for a bit and had an injection. So hopefully that's going to help. But yeah, we'll just see. Bit of a frustrating one.
We're touching all the wood, aren't we, mate?
I was going to say, Mo, what were you doing to your face there? I was like,
touching wood.
Oh,
I was touching wood.
Okay. It's like, do you also have an injury? Is your forehead ouchy? I don't know what happened there.
No.
And then the big other thing that happened in Italy was Molly Packer getting that golden cap. I saw such a nice picture of the two of you, Mo. There was just so many really heartwarming moments, I feel like, in that opening game. I know it now feels like an age ago. But I'm guessing there wasn't the biggest party for Party Packer, ironically.
No, there wasn't really at all, was there? Obviously, we do a little thing in the change rooms post-matches now, which is something that Mitch has brought in, which is really cool just to like reconnect us. And she had a moment with her family on pitch. I think she had 10 to 15 of her family fly out, which was awesome to see so many people. And Julie Packer is like one of Mum's best mates. They ended up on the same hotel at the first under 20 tour we ever did together. So know Julie really, really well as well. So to have her present, I think it was the little trophy cap to her, was super special. Yeah, just to see her get that accolade is fantastic. And obviously to do it while you're captaining your country as well is pretty epic. So yeah, hats off.
The Packers definitely had a party, but I don't think Marley did.
To our knowledge anyway.
I was so excited about having some ham with you guys, but I ended up out on the town with my crew because you guys were hanging with the Italian girls.
What do you mean having some ham?
In Parma, you eat ham.
Literal ham, as in Parma. Hello?
I didn't know whether that meant something else. Sorry.
It's Parma. No, is it actually made in Parma, the ham?
Yes.
Parma ham. Yeah, see, it makes sense. In Parma, we eat ham.
It's like champagne from France, like the place.
Did you know that, Mo?
Wait, what was that? Are you winding me up? I just brushed over it because I didn't know if you were taking the piss or not. Did you say it's from France?
Like champagne from the place in France.
Nope.
It's literally named after Parma ham.
Dodgy.
I was going to say, we're just going to blame the delay.
There's a place in France called Champagne. No, I'm not actually joking. I'm not. I swear to God. No,
the Champagne region, yes.
I didn't know it was called Champagne, though. I've heard of the Champagne region. Is that like a place, is it?
Yeah.
Where else is there? Is Swiss cheese from Switzerland?
Well, mate.
Is it Switzerland? Where else is that? Oh, my
Red
God. Frankfurt sausages. Oh, my God. Where else?
The whole world is full
is
of food,
mate.
Red Leicester?
Is it called Red Leicester, though, or is it just from Leicester? Because now I'm confused.
Double Gloucester.
Yeah, but there's only one Gloucester, so I'm confused about that one as well.
Gouda is also a place.
Wow. I'm going to Google this after. Anyways.
We've completely taken the biggest sidebar on a, like, actually well-structured rugby conversation that we've ever done.
Sorry, but if there's anyone else out there that doesn't know that, can you just let me know? Because sometimes I feel really, really silly. But, like, why would I know that? Like, why do you need to know?
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that. The Champagne region.
You're just being nice.
Oh, she's just being sweet. Look at that. She's a good friend.
However, going back to Parma, yep. We were served a truckload of Parma ham at this post-match meal. Like a truckload. It was a joke. It was everywhere. It was good fun. Yeah, it was our second course, just like, just ham.
And Mo was like, why is there so much meat there?
Told us that the second course was coming out soon, and then we sat down and they just put a plate of ham in front of us. It was mental. But the third course was an unbelievable pot of rolls.
Anyway, we've digressed heavy there.
Well,
no, I was going to go on to tell you about the post-match function.
Yes.
So obviously we had some new caps. Paco got our 100th cap. So basically that was the arena that they were going to perform on and sing their first cap or their 100th cap or song. And I was sat next to Tunezi because some of the girls had split up. Go on, Mo.
Can we tell the Paco bit first? So they made Paco sing. And so she sings her first song. And then one person goes, keep going. And then she proceeded to sing four more songs. Bear in mind, we're like sat in with all the refs and everyone else. It was next level nuts. Like most people would just turn around and be like, no, I'm not doing it. I've done my one. But she just kept going and kept going. Anyway, then Maddie did hers.
So the girls have done theirs. Packer's done eight songs and you literally have to clap her off. And then like some of it, we're like, come on then. They're like trying to get the Italians going. They had a couple. They sing some Italian songs. Obviously, we're just like clapping along. I'm sat next to Tunezi and Rigoni brings the mic over to her, puts it down on the table and she's like, no. And I kind of, people are just, they're over the singing now. Then all of a sudden she picks up the mic and she just goes, this girl is on fire. But like, unbelievable.
Oh,
like, it was not to really sound too good. Dramatic, but it was pretty close to listening to whoever sings that song.
Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
And they proceeded to sing the entire song. But like, obviously, at the first bit is everyone's literally gone like this. I jumped out of my skin because I'm literally sat right next to her. But then she doesn't know the English, does she? So she's like, just like mumbles through the, and then like belts the chorus.
It was really
fun.
Very, very good.
Very good.
Very impressive. On the topic of Party Packer going on and on and on, when she did go off in the Wales game, Sadia was captain. And I loved the quote that came out that she gave where she said, Mitch just came up to her during the week in the lead up to that saying, when Molly comes off, you're going to be captain. You don't need to do anything differently. We've chosen you for a reason. Explain.
I don't know, obviously, the reasons that Mitch has picked up, but I think, like, she's been a part of this leadership group that he's picked from the start. One, she's bloody ridiculous player. Like, I'm a big Sadia Kabir fan. And I think she's really starting to develop this other side of her. Obviously, she's one of those players that when you watch her play, you're like, yeah, fair enough. If you could do that, I could probably throw myself around a little bit too. So there's a massive part of that. I think, you know, the bit around you don't have to do anything differently. She's not the biggest talker, but I think it's definitely a role that she'll continue to grow into. And I suppose also when you think about it, with her and Marley being our two sevens, in theory, one of them's probably always going to be on the field. So maybe there's something in that as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what our youngest captain would have ever been, but she's got to be pretty close to it, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
To be fair as well, the way she like throws herself around, I think she was 22 tackles again at the weekend and just leads by example always. And that's kind of what you want. Like, you want somebody that you can follow into battle. So yeah, both of them together are pretty epic at that.
But not a kicker of the ball.
There's a moment
in training today. We play this game that's like the wrong way on the pitch. So that the width is the entire length. In fact, you get me. It's like one touch turnover. So obviously if you're near someone, there's a bit of panic that happens. And basically Sadia's got the ball, someone's coming towards her and everybody around her is shouting, kick it, kick it, kick it. And no single part of Sadia wants to kick this ball, can process that fast enough or has the ability to do it naturally. The outcome was something I've never seen before. It was like she didn't know what footage she was. She didn't know whether she should right or left. She didn't understand. She didn't know what foot she was. And then she basically does this like death drop and just falls on the floor.
The ball bounces in between her legs as she's trying to swing both legs. I think she tries to swing both legs. Maybe that's what takes her out. But yeah, it was brilliant.
She pulled an Alma. Yeah, great going.
Yeah, yeah.
Rugby ick. There we go. what wasn't a rugby ick is the 19,705 people who turned up for that Wales game at Ashton Gate. Bravo. We love seeing that record outside of Twickenham for matches hosted in England. Zoe's 50th cap. big moment as well there. I just love, I mean, the kind of experience that you guys are now building up, it's a little wild. And then Ellie Kildan's finish. Chef's kiss.
Madness.
He's on fire.
Yeah, she really is on fire. But yeah, just, it's unbelievable. And we're starting now to, like, I have to think quicker and scan more because I can't really hear what's going on. Because as soon as something good happens, like genuinely, the crowd absolutely erupts. And I'd say that's probably one of the loudest. I don't know whether it rivals what was in Twickenham, but even the girls were saying even 58,000 wasn't potentially as loud as that, or maybe we just can't remember. But yeah, it was absolutely mental. And you just have to process so much quicker because there's so much going on. But yeah, shout out to Zoe, class, that she's got her 50th. Her
unreal.
Berna came in to deliver her chat, which was actually really, really cool because most people, they talk about their rugby journey and all this sort of stuff. And Zoe's was a lot of off-pitch stuff, which was really, really funny. Zoe was in a shell, like she hated it, but everyone else was enjoying themselves. And yeah, like Ellie Kildan, like unbelievable. She's just a product of how she's training there. Like she's skinning people left, right and centre. So for then her to go out and put performances in like that and to be able to get those finishes is epic.
Love that. That's brilliant. Mm. And I love it for my fantasy league as well.
I think everyone's got her in their team, eh?
I listened to the other pod, Elma, where you said you'd put me as captain for Italy and you really should have consulted me because that was an awful, awful decision.
Well, I just wanted to be like very loyal, but I won't do that again.
Nah, I'm not bothered. I'm not precious.
Don't worry, guys. She threw shade on me this week as well.
I did complain to Mo because she didn't yield me enough points. and I sent her the screen grab and said, do better. Aren't you glad I don't actually have any power because I'm obviously being a nightmare?
And also, we don't even, like, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know what you get points for, who, like, how you get the points, what your prizes are. I literally don't know anything about it. So, like I said to you, unless we're on try assists or kicking meters for Skazzy or something like that, like, don't even bother with us.
Yeah, I'm just going to proceed with Ellie. Stick with Ellie Kildan. In Ellie, I trust.
100%.
Speaking of great hair, Katie Daly McLean's Skaz party hat. Did you see that?
I wonder where you're going with that then.
She's saying Ellie has great hair, by the way.
Yes, by the way.
Yeah, but then I was like, on to Katie.
Yeah. With the fringe. Hello.
Sorry, not slamming Katie's hair.
The fringe, Daily McLean.
Party hat. The party hat. She won't come back. You've called her the fourth wheel and the fringe. She won't come back.
She's got a great fringe. I wish I could wear one that well. There is just absolutely no hope on my five head. It looks weird. She is still rocking that party hat. She's kept it. It's in immaculate shape. I don't know how because she wore it for a very long time last year. And it's coming back.
I have no idea. But she wore it out all that night. She lives in a house with three small children and a dog. I have no idea how she's kept it like that. I think she's printed a load of her own.
Sorry, is that the same hat or did you give her another? I just assumed you'd given her another.
No.
That's her own hat from that night.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, on the describing her as the fourth wheel, that is not an insult. The fifth wheel is an insult. All cars have four wheels. Can we just put that like on the record as well?
I love how close you came to the screen then. I felt like you were here.
I'm ready to fight someone.
In my house and why? I didn't even say it.
Why is fourth wheel?
All it missed was a wagging finger.
Yeah, but I don't understand why that is an expression. A fifth wheel is a bad thing. If you're the sixth wheel, yeah. You're not even on board.
I hadn't ever thought of it like that, I'll be honest. I just assume, because it's like a third wheel is a bad thing. I just assume fourth was even worse.
Arguably, the fifth wheel is the steering wheel, and that's the most important.
Look at Mo.
I have no knowledge of where Frankfurt is, but I can give you some
Mrs. Frankfurter.
Mrs. Frankfurter.
Not
thinking. Do you want to be Mrs. Balmerham?
Immediately. I don't want to be either of those things.
Imagine the hat we could make.
That's the funniest thing you've ever said, I swear to God.
Lots of sausages. This is completely derailing.
Don't even bother. I'm gone. Imagine the hat we... It's all I've got is a picture of the hat we can make and I can't...
Okay. Okay, Mrs. Steering Wheel is the fifth wheel.
Can we go back to the comment about your great posture, and have you been keeping that in mind, straightening up, being strong in battle?
Way to bring me back down to earth. Yes. Yeah, so, for those that aren't aware, obviously had that chat about how Mitch thought that I had big shoulders and I felt well pumped out, and then he saw you guys at the launch and he said to you guys that what he was, well, basically had that conversation with you, and then he came back to me and was like, hey, so Alma the other day, and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, and he was like, yeah, we said about you having big shoulders, and I was like, yeah, and he was like, see, the joke is I just meant that you needed to pull your shoulders back and that your posture was terrible. Honestly, my little bubble around me just went pop. No, it was very funny.
I think he's invested in your great posture and you looking like power on the pitch.
Yeah, but in all honesty, I am way more aware now. Like, if he's around, I'm like, yeah. Pull those shoulders back. Get K-tape across them. But no, I'm definitely way more aware of it now, for sure.
That's good.
And I won't be thinking that that's compliments ever again. I'll definitely be like, okay, what does he actually mean?
I still think, I don't think it's all bad, but I also don't think fourth wheel is bad. So, I mean, I have the thickest, I have the skin like skin of a rhino. I also have the skin of a rhino because I saw the Jamie George posts and people complaining about Jamie George coming into camp, like chatting about how to
do lineouts. What were they complaining about?
I saw people on Twitter complaining about this and I was like, guys, if Siya Kolisi turned up to a women box training in his civvies on his day off and he just started like chatting ball with the girls, I would be buzzing about this. And also, if I talk about the work I do with a male colleague who works for the same organization and we're throwing ideas around on how to do things better, that's not a bad thing. That's people being on the same side.
I think the thing is that people immediately jump to a conclusion, don't they? Whereas actually the truth of it was that he'd spoken to Mitch about it numerous times and a while ago around wanting to come in, not even to help the girls, like for himself. Do you know what I mean? Not in a selfish way, but like it wasn't like him thinking he could really add some value or anything. Obviously he can and did, but it was more just around him wanting to be around and I guess show his face, but also see what we're up to. I think he said, didn't he, like see what I could learn from them as much as them from me.
It's a knowledge exchange. You've spoken about this, Mo, where you have so much respect for Danny Kerr and the two of you play like the same position. And there's obviously there are things that are different, but there's also things that are the same.
Yeah, 100%. And I've spoken to Jamie a bit through their campaign and he genuinely is the one that was driving it and wanted to come in. Like Skazzy said, like he's chasing Mitch, like trying to see if the schedules align and wants to be there. And the girls got so much out of it. Like he changed a few drills that they were doing. And obviously having a specialist coach, whether it's like in scrum half passing or whether it's hooker work or those really like niche positions, he's one of the best at what he does. Like why would we not want to get that knowledge? It's crazy. I think Ben Youngs has said the same, like he's really keen to come in and do some nine stuff. So I think that's hopefully in the pipeline as well for some of us. But yeah, it's awesome when we've got people like that that want to come in and give a little bit back is class. So why wouldn't we want to jump at it?
I also angered all of the uncles over on X because I said if the Six Nations were decided by the men's and women's logs on aggregate, there'd be a lot more men turning up all over the place just trying to invest as much energy and insight as they can in the greater good of the system. And what's changing about the men's captain's role is he's making it his own. He's the first one to do this. And I would love to applaud that vision for thinking about English rugby as a whole entity, not as the men's and the women's team independent of one another.
Yeah, 100%. I think I actually messaged him when he put our squad up and was like buzzing to see this or something. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like that means so much. He was like, don't be stupid. Like I'm actually genuinely really excited to see you girls. Like I really want to be in, like I'm going to try and do this. So like, just to have that almost conversation about it as well and how much it means to them as much as how much when they play it means to us is huge. And yeah, long may it continue for sure.
Yeah. Now, one team who is absolutely cruising because they lost 55-0 to France last year and then lost 5-15 to them in round two, is, and she's playing the silent bagpipe, if you can't see it, Scazzy is buzzing. Scotland up next. Last time Scotland played England, the score was 58-7. Did you hear me ask them about that? And then Emma Wussell went, aha, but that doesn't mean anything. She actually had a lot to say, Scaz. Have you got any, do you want to exercise your right of reply here? Leather trousers?
Why haven't you shown me these leather trousers? We haven't seen anything of that, guys, ever. Ever. Is this like your Loughborough Scaz, your little Loughborough ego?
It's just a little Nottingham night out. It's a little, you know.
Why have we seen no photos? Where's the photo evidence, mate?
It was banned.
Apparently they were serving.
Scaz, for 5 marks, please explain the difference between serving and giving.
Because you have phone, sister. You have phone.
I don't know where to start. All I will say is I don't mind one of those words, but the other, I'm just not sure about it. I'm just not sure about
which way round.
Giving, I get. Serving, I don't know.
What's the bit sure about that that you don't like? Just,
well, you know, just uncomfortable, really.
Okay, what bit?
Shut up, mate. However, Wes always has a lot to say. She's very good value. I really enjoyed listening to their pod. The fact that she described my bum as a derriere was a bit odd. I don't know why, she was just getting in Rona's kind of French vibes. Don't know. But yeah, I don't know really what to say about it. I do have a pair of leather trousers. I've worn them once. Will I wear them again? I'm unsure.
Yes, please. Yes, please. If you can dress up like a gladiator and Buddy the Elf, you can definitely show off the derriere for a change. There should be balance in all these things. You can't just be down with being the goof. Sometimes you're just going to go, I have the asset and I shall flaunt it.
The goose. I can take the goose.
Yes.
We promise we'll say it's giving, not serving, if you will.
No one tells Scaz she's serving anything. She's not serving, okay? Yeah. Just making that clear.
Oh,
and then...
Excellent.
I cannot wait for my gran to ask me about this. Cannot wait.
Oh, gran is going to definitely have thoughts. Shall I wear my my Scotland hat and my Scotland full kit?
Slip of the tongue. Okay. She took her earphones out. She
took her headphones out purposely. Yeah.
I am wearing the most beautiful knitted Scottish hat with the thistle on the front. How are we feeling about Scotland? What threat do they pose?
They're definitely a team that they keep the ball in play a lot. So it's always a real, real hard test against them because they're super patient with what they do. They keep the ball loads. And you really have to work at everything that you do. Obviously, they've proven how good they are at the minute. Like, there's so much belief in that squad, and we know how much they love each other and also how much they hate the English. Like, even in kit swaps and stuff, I don't think you'll find any Scottish person ever swap kit unless they're Scaz and Waz, probably the only two.
No, Waz doesn't take, they never take anything back.
Yeah, they'll let you have your shirt, but they won't.
I'm waggling my iPad then again. I'll tell you a Helen Nelson story, right? So we're going to swap bobble hats. So I had a Scottish bobble hat of Nell's, and I ended up having to offer her an Adidas hat as the return hat because an England hat was not going to cut it.
Not wearing that rose, never ever.
Yeah, you won't see it. You won't see it. But also, like, I think that's quite exciting because it always gives like a bit more spice. And obviously, we know so many of the girls like have so much time for so many of the girls, and just think the absolute world of so many of them. So to go into proper battle against people like that is awesome as well.
Also, I think at home for them and a sellout, they're awesome at home. It means so much to them. And what's the song that plays just before kickoff? Because I love that song.
A Flower of Scotland.
No, not the anthem, you plonker.
Sorry, I thought that was well rude if you didn't know that, guys.
What's the song?
No, you call yourself Scottish and you don't even know.
It's the one that is called I'll Take the High Road, You Take the Low Road. What's that called? Loch Lomond.
That's it.
There we are. Gutted they didn't get their losing bonus point. But chuffed for how well that they're going. They seem to have really... That was my noise for upward trajectory.
Wow.
Welcome.
You're really fun today.
Yeah.
Sorry, Alma. I've spent the last 3 days with this girl and she's been bottling it up for this podcast, I swear to God.
She's been saving it. Okay, well, good luck at the Hive against that crowd. Good luck with the cold in Scotland. And then we'll see you after Bordeaux.
We miss you guys. Keep doing great stuff. I've really enjoyed listening to the ones that we've done along the way.
Turns out KDM's grey.
Yeah, there's that fourth wheel.
Do you see what I mean, though, about the fourth wheel not being a bad thing?
I mean, I've been called the fourth wheel, the fifth wheel, and I think the sixth wheel was also mentioned. So either I'm a really big wheel, like a big tire, you know, like a Land Rover tire that sits on the back, on the door.
The decorative one.
Yeah, that's it.
The
no
one
use.
That, the one that makes it look tough.
Okay, I'll take that. Tough.
She's still not comfortable with it. We're going to have to think of a better way of doing this. What is it you would like us to call you when you come off the bench like you do and steal the show the way you do?
You just try to save that. Off the bench.
Well,
I want to be a starter, Elmer. I want to be like in the main team. Like
the good,
not
the
just
KDM
the girl.
And the rugby.
That has had a nice ring, doesn't it? We got there eventually.
The
got
KD,
there.
The Daly and the McLean. And some rugby.
Even better. Yeah, I'll just be named. The show can just be me.
Basically. The Katie show.
Yeah, I think I'll be the steering wheel. Mo did save that. I mean, along with the other things, she lost her integrity, dignity in that 20 minutes. But the steering wheel one was all right, wasn't it?
Look, nothing will ever top Swiss cheese, but...
I don't know. Champagne was pretty close as well. I was so proud. And then she kept talking. I was like, oh, Mo.
Oh.
Scars Nudger. Somebody save her.
Someone stop it. We love it. And we will bring you more Mo moments and tons more fifth wheeling as we go. Speaking of extra wheels on cars, the Bump in the Road documentary on Abby Ward's return to being a superstar rugby player off the back of a pregnancy. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that it's out on ITVX and that you should go watch it to understand more of what that journey requires. But that we also need to give Vicky Cornborough her flowers. She had twins at a similar time to Abby. She is the other side of the coin because she has come out to announce her retirement because she says mentally she's just not ready. And I would like us to take a moment and say congratulations on a great career, Vicky. And also, being a mom is an extreme sport in and of itself. We have covered this thoroughly with Dame Laura Kenny and all of the other conversations we've had on the topic of being a mom and being a pro rugby player. These two things almost obviously probably just don't go together well. If you manage it like Abby has, we love you for it. If you decide this is not your road anymore, we will still celebrate you for the contribution you made to the game and completely acknowledge that this is an insanely difficult balancing act.
100%. And added to that, Vic had twins. So I think the dynamic of having one baby when you've got a load of support and care around you, but having to bring two babies into camp, potentially with another two adults, I can totally relate to it. I'm not sure I would have wanted to go back and play. Like, my mindset had completely changed to being around family and kids and want to spend that time. And I've watched the documentary that Abs and Dave did, and it's brilliant. And, you know, she wants Hallie to have all those amazing experiences that come with her mum doing what she's doing, and it's brilliant. But like you say, I don't think one size fits all. And, you know, Vic played 75 times for England, front row, in a very, very different position, in a very different world, you know, worked, did a lot off the pitch. I think, if anything, Vic should be congratulated for a lot of the stuff she did. That maternity policy and all the bits that came would have been due to a lot of the background work and that Vic Cornborough put into our game. So fair play to her. And I don't think, like I say, you can, one size fits all. I think it's amazing that she thought about it, and, you know, she's been really honest to herself and to her family. And I think sometimes that's even harder.
Yeah. Yeah. And really brave. And we would like to celebrate the work that you've done and also say good luck with twins, because that's an extreme, extreme, extreme sport. My husband is one of them.
Hang in there.
My father-in-law still got an ashen look on his face every now and again when we passed people with tiny twinnies in the shops, and he'd go, wow, that was a lot.
I went up to my parents this weekend, and honestly, I think we took at least 10 years off their life. we were only there 3 days, and I think I left my dad, and he just looked the shell of the man when I arrived.
He was you could completely see him just sitting down for a bit, quietly.
Like, slumped in his chair.
So congratulations, Vicky, on a great career. I want that to be like the takeaway here. Then we quickly need to chat about the under-18s Six Nations. England lost to France in the final round of the tournament, played in Colwyn Bay in North Wales. 46-21, the final score there. Both teams were unbeaten going into that fixture. If you haven't been paying attention, it's fine. We got you. England had drawn with Italy, though, and France had won all of theirs. Their scrum half grew up in the same town as Caroline Drouin. So, I mean, obviously there's something in the water there. How do we read this result, Katie Daly-McLean?
I think it's fascinating. I think the French have always had really good age group teams. Like, their 20s were always absolutely massive when you used to play them. Like, they'd been grown in some big factory and they just looked so much bigger than us. I think it's great to see, isn't it, you know, that you're talking about like a mini, it was basically an under 18 Six Nations. And how cool is that for the development of the game for young girls potentially who haven't started senior rugby, about to maybe come into PWR or French National League, etc. And they're playing in these games. I think for me it's an interesting one, because you would say that England would be up there and would be really dominant. But like we know, French age group rugby is pretty impressive.
And there's a footnote at the bottom of a recent story on the Club World Cup launching in 2028 in the men's game, about a Women's Champions Cup being added to the bill as well. And this Women's Champions Cup featuring, for example, also French clubs. So all of that talk that we have been talking about, wondering about the standard of the French league and how that would sit next to the PWR, and if you could get those teams competing against one another, it might actually be happening.
It's very exciting, isn't it? Like you say, it's been talked about for such a long time, and I think it'd be great, especially, you know, the French league. If I could have played anywhere else, that's where I probably would have gone. I would have gone over to France and just gone down to the south, and like, their rugby standard is good. There's a lot of investment in there. They've got good standard across the board. So it'll be fascinating to see, you know, the Montpelliers taking on potentially your Saris or your Gloucester Harperies.
Now, that tournament, the under 18 Six Nations, trialled the use of a 4.5 rugby ball. This is it's a half size smaller than the size 5 that usually you play with in the men's and the women's game. Our producer Shira knows Ollie Perry, who's one of the England under 18 coaches, and checked in with her on this because she's a news hound and she just couldn't help herself. And Ollie said, I was quite unsure at first. I wondered if it was necessary, but you can't get away from the fact women have biologically, on average, smaller hands. From a skill point of view, I think with more time to adapt, it will benefit the game and the product as a consequence. If you look at the offloading game through the festival, it benefited the performance of all teams. I think I'd fly the flag for supporting size 4.5, but I still ask the question as to whether it's another complexity that's needed. Do we need to specialise? Is it necessary, Katie Daly-McLean?
I probably sit in the opposite camp to Ollie in this. I think there's been trials before, mainly around the kick and stuff. I think if you've made a ball smaller and the weight stayed the same, how have you balanced that? As somebody sat and looked, you know, how the sweet spots change in the balls, or the bit of the middle of the ball that you're trying to kick to get the best connection. And I also wonder that if you start doing this, this then just goes to the top end of the game. It goes, because it will cost money to trial a ball, to get a good 4.5 ball. You know, everybody's played with a really cheap rugby ball, and I worry that the 4.5 just becomes that, you know, only the top richest clubs get the best balls, and then everybody else just kind of gets left behind, and you just provide another barrier. So while it is great, and like you say, for the attacking version of the game, offloading, hand size, look, I haven't got a massively big hand, so it would have been great. But I do think you've got to think about the implications for everybody else. If you're in a remote part of South Africa, say, are you in the only balls you get is what you get passed down from the men's side, and now the women are playing with a 4.5, how do we still make sure that everybody's involved in our game? Because I think that's really important.
Yeah, accessibility. And I've worked on content filmed with girls playing rugby in Mexico and Madagascar, and really far-flung parts of the Pacific Islands, and you want anyone to just be able to pick a ball up and play and have the barrier to entry be as low as you possibly can. So it would be good to have research point out what the real benefits, the true percentage, like the small margins are that you can win here, as opposed to, so that you can make a fair call on whether that rules people out of the game, and whether the sacrifice is worth it.
And I suppose the other fact about that from a kicking perspective is working with female kickers on that.
Mm.
It's making sure you're speaking to the top female kickers in the game around, if we are going to do this, how that ball flies, the distance you can kick with it, and making sure that if we do come to this decision and we decide this is the way we're going to go, that we've explored every avenue, not just a couple of people have thought it's a really good idea and we've rolled with that. Because I think sometimes that maybe occasionally does happen in our sport.
Yeah, sometimes we see studies come out and we just go, oh, well, you know, some scientists pored over some data for a long time, so it must be objectively the truth and a universal fact. For example, the conversation around the World Rugby Coaching Network that Alice Soper called out but eventually led to an apology. They could do a study here on this ball and find that it really affects hookers badly and they just can't throw the ball that well. We should look at it, but every time a study comes out, and this World Rugby Coaching Framework, if you didn't see it, basically said that if you're coaching, there are key areas of difference between men and women, and that, for example, their base reaction for men is action and the base reaction for women is feeling. Katie, are you action or feeling?
Definitely more action. I think when the more I read it, the more I sit probably towards the men's side than the women's side.
So on stress response, the one is fight or flight and the other one is tend and befriend.
Yeah, I'd probably be a fight.
I'm also a fight. Like, default
straight
fight.
Into, straight yeah, like,
in. Yeah.
Very quick to that.
Or get Katie to fight and I will just shout. But the point on this coaching framework is that there was a study that was published a very, very long time ago that they cited in a coaching framework that World Rugby issued.
Yep.
And then it took Alice Soper's a very beady eye to quickly pick this up and go, this is absolutely offsides, because it actually just doesn't bear out in practice. Yeah. And if you have managed a team of people in any professional context anywhere in the world, you will probably have encountered women like Katie and I who are more on the fight or flight and less on the tend and befriend side of the spectrum.
Tend and befriend.
Tend and befriend.
Makes me feel uncomfortable saying it. I've got clammy
hands. I'm sure someone felt very proud of themselves that they found this expression and they made it rhyme as well. But World Rugby, kudos to them, came out and said, this does not reflect our values and our known commitment to gender equality. And I think that is huge because in the past, so stuff like this would happen and there would be a little uproar and the news cycle would move on. And as an organization, you could just quietly step back into the shadow and wait until a bigger drama found its way to the top of the headlines. It's a very brave move from an organization to come out and issue an apology, because there are people in all of these roles and this will be something that there's a superior somewhere that goes, geez, you really did drop the ball this week. And we do need to leave the door open for people to come back inside and say, we have learned from this.
I think we can all suggest that when you're coaching teams, whether it's male or female teams, you need to have a broad spectrum of skills to be able to realise that. Me and you might be similar, but some Mo probably is definitely more tend and befriend.
Mm.
But then probably Scazzy's probably hard wired to systemise. She probably isn't going to go and empathise. But no. I think that's about knowing your people. It's not necessarily being as black and white as going, well, you're a woman, so I need to do this, and you're a man, so I'm going to do this.
Mm.
I think, like you say, probably the ball's just being dropped when people have thought about how this might be received.
Now, our High Flyer of the Week segment is brought to you by our good friends at British Airways. With it being the Fallow Week, we asked you, the fan, to pick out the standout red rose from the opening two rounds of the tournament. On our socials, we gave you the option of Zoe Oldcroft, Hannah Botterman, and Ellie Kildun. Who would you go for out of those three, Katie Daly-McLean?
Do you know what it is? Zoe Oldcroft's 50th cap was brilliant. I thought Botts was great, but for me, it's Ellie Kildun, and it's all about that finish. That finish, when we talk about ball size, Ellie Kildun didn't struggle holding a size 5, did she, when she finished in the corner?
Looks at the scoreboard.
Yeah.
The results speak for themselves and the fans agree with you. Congratulations. Woo! Our high flyer of the week is Ellie Kildan. Thanks again to our friends at British Airways. To feel inspired for your next adventure, head to ba.com. Now, it's been 2 weeks of waiting. The good news for you is the wait is very nearly over. Mm. Round three, Scotland, England at 2:15 p.m. from the Hive Stadium in Edinburgh will be live on the BBC. I will not be wearing Scotland colours because people's feelings were so hurt. The Scotland scarf is here on the set, though, so it's waiting for them when they come back. What threat do these Scottish girls pose, England, and what should Scottish fans be looking for outside of a good performance from their team?
Yeah, I think we can't get hung up on the result. I think for me, it's not about the result. It's about Scotland building on what they did against France. Brian talked about, didn't he, that he felt like they missed some opportunities, that they weren't clinical enough. And I think for me, if Scotland can get a good start, if it's potentially not as windy and as wild and windy as it was when they played France, you know, allows Helen Nelson to kick the ball and to give them a bit of territory, build into the game. I think that can maybe unsettle England because I think they're just used to playing against Scotland, putting a big score on them and almost kind of job's done. But I think if we see a loose England like we did against Italy, where they don't look after possession and they let Scotland in, like we know, Scotland are full of confidence. They're going well. And I think if you're them, you've got no fear. This could be, there's always going to be a year at some point, and I wonder if they're starting to believe maybe this is theirs.
58-7 was the score last year between these two sides. This time it is on Scottish turf, and if anyone can play those conditions, you'd hope that it would be the Scottish girls.
You could, but I think England have so many kickers across their back line, regardless of who they pick for that Scotland team, whereas realistically you're looking at Helen Nelson or you're looking at Lisa Thompson. And that's if she's available, being away with sevens. So just think, if you're England and you can shut Nelly down, then it becomes hard for Scotland to get territory. And what Scotland can't do is they can't stay camped in their half for long periods because England will just squeeze them. Their physicality will come to the forefront. And for me, that's the big difference. I still think England have that physical edge in terms of being able to dominate the opposition for 80 minutes. You know, Scotland have got a really good 15, but probably the bench are still, you know, Abby Fleming, it was first cap, has only been playing for Edinburgh Uni, I think, hasn't been playing as much league rugby. So they've still got a way to go to really kind of have a 30-plus squad, whereas you would probably argue England now have a really strong 23 and extras that won't be included.
Let's see who made the most of the Fella Week. The next game on the menu on Saturday, Ireland-Wales, 4:45 from Musgrave Park in Cork. Must win for both of these teams. Ireland lost to France and Italy. Wales have lost to Scotland and England. We can't make a judgment because they haven't played the same teams. Mm. But what have we learnt?
I think the pressure's massively on Wales. I think Wales will go into this as favourites. I think for this season, or for the Six Nations, for Ireland, it was all about just being better than they were and really starting to put a mark in the sand, which I think they've done. You know, that game against Italy was so close and came down to one score. But I think the pressure really is on Wales. Haven't been in WXV1. You know, these results now will really count. And I think if you're Johan Cunningham, you probably feel that your team needs to get a result. You know, Ireland at home in Cork, they're moving around. They had a massive crowd against Italy. I'd be nervous if I was Wales at the moment. The pressure is on.
Yeah, Ireland, Italy, 6,605 people in attendance. Shout out to them. Shout out also to Cliona Maloney. Returns. She's been in exile. If you're new to the party, she had thoughts that she expressed. And
crazy.
She was quite outspoken about the way things were being done in Ireland previously. Then she went unselected, and for a long time people looked over in Cliona Maloney's direction and went, when is she going to have a look back in?
I think on her thoughts were probably fair and accurate and a representation of a lot of other people's thoughts as well. I think that's a bit that gets missed. I think sometimes you talk about Cliona Maloney and they're like, almost like, oh, she said this. But actually what she was saying at the time was fairly accurate about what was happening in Irish rugby for the women. And she kind of got hung out to dry a little bit, didn't she, in my opinion. I'm not sure she was as supported as potentially as well as she could have been.
Meg Jones came out on Twitter in support and said, epitomizes what it means to stand up for what you believe in. People's champion. I'm here for this news. Go well, Maka. Love. That, and you know what, Meg strikes me as the kind of person who, if she had been the person in that situation, would have also stuck her neck all the way out.
Yeah, look, it's hard, isn't it? When you want to play for your country and you get caught in that position where, is it saying what you believe in or still wanting to represent your country, it's really typical. And I think, you know, Meg is a good egg, and you're probably right there that she would be one who's in the corner and wants everything to be done properly. So, but it's great to see her back, isn't it? Hopefully we see her this weekend, because I think Ireland need more of that. She brings so much experience, but she also brings a load of fight and a load of edge, and they're going to need that against Wales.
And that is what makes her being recalled back into the squad a really interesting move, because it does make you wonder what that says about the culture and the atmosphere and the vibe, because this girl is not going to stick around if she has not seen sufficient change and shift. Sunday, France play Italy at 12:30 at Stade Jean Bouin in Paris. And more good news is confirmation of rumours that Nick Heath gave us the scoopy on this previously. England will play the Black Ferns, number one and two in the world, at Twickenham in mid-September. A standalone fixture, look at that. And you'll be able to see the best women's players in the world according to the current rankings in action. If you would like to come on down to Twickenham, come and join us. Bill Sweeney, the chief executive of the RFU, said, if you look at women's sport, what's happening with the Lionesses in football, and you see it across cricket as well, women's sport is here to stay and we need to make sure it grows as quickly as possible. Also, we would like money. So here is a property that we will unlock Twickenham for, because as it turns out, we can actually, you know, make the thing quite full.
It's like, welcome, Bill. Nice of you to join us.
Yeah. I do think people need to stop going, oh, we want to grow the game. Yeah. Yes, we would also like to make the money. Yes.
Yeah, it's fair, isn't it?
Yes. Okay.
It is fair.
Good.
They've just realised that actually not opening Twickenham, there's going to be more than 10,000 now.
Yeah.
Haven't they? So that, oh.
Oh, oh.
I got an idea, guys.
Do you know what? We should get some Portaloos in, because we're going to have many ladies in here.
And maybe some tissues as well, because they
might
cry.
Maybe some tissues. And then we will have Swiss cheese on the menu and Parma ham.
And sausages.
And Frankfurters. And tend and befriend one and all. There we go. These are the rules of women's rugby. Once Katie Daly McLean collects herself, I will say thank you for coming down from Manchester.
Can we just point out that this is actually fact? We're not even making this up.
Tend and befriend, Katie. Remember. If you have a Scottish friend, tend and befriend there as
Turn
well.
Turn into Mo.
Thank you so much for joining us. We will take our silliness home now. It has been a joy, as always, to have you on our steering wheel.
Thank you.
You're a lovely addition to the project. Thank you so much for lending us your ears. The Good Disguised Rugby is brought to you by our friends at Vodafone. It is a Folding Pocket production. And as always, the brain behind it all is our producer, Shaira Kilgallen.
You've been listening to The Good, The Scaz and The Rugby. A bit like Loose Women, but with less emphasis on working on your pelvic floor.
Mrs. Frankfurter.
Not thinking.
What do you mean, Mrs. Bomberham?
Immediately.